And let's take our text there again, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6. We're going to work it a little further tonight. Just take some flyers and invite some folks to the house this weekend. I believe we're going to see some folks filled with the Holy Ghost this coming Sunday. Don't have to wait till Sunday. I've got a Bible study on Tuesday night. I've walked in the last several weeks, and the question has been the same. Are we going to get the Holy Ghost tonight? Are we going to speak in tongues tonight? And I've been holding them off. Not tonight, not tonight. And we're bringing them right to the point. And I think Tuesday night, we're probably going to pray the whole crowd through to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Or at least that seems to be. And some of our kids here at church are going to school with some of these kids. And it's going to be interesting to see how that works. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 4. Everyone say, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Praise God. God bless you as you're seated tonight. Let's give him praise and thanks. Magnify his name. Well, praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, come on. If somebody had sunk a putt, that might work. But this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We bless your name. We praise your name. We lift you up, oh God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You want to be in prayer with our church family? We've got all the Smiths are out at a funeral today. An elder in the church there in Leeds has passed away. And then the Canute clan is grieving and mourning the loss of that father and husband. And a lot of just bugs and sickness throughout a lot of the church. I think Natalie has pneumonia. And we just need to lift them up and pray these bugs away, because we need to have revival. And we're tired of it. We don't want any more bugs. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Be gone, bugs, Brother Arthur. That's right. This morning, we were making our way on into this in the section here where Paul talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. And in exploring this, we understand that Paul identifies the strongholds that he wants to pull down as things that inhabit your brain. They are ensconced in your mind. They're knowledge, thoughts, and imaginations. Those are strongholds. They can be positive, persistence, faithfulness, loyalty, dedication. Those are strongholds. Those are good things and positive strongholds, and hard for the enemy to deal with an apostolic with a right mind and a made up mind. But also, that's where your fears dwell and your doubts dwell and your insecurities and those things that come to you from your past framing and your house of the familiar and those things that shaped you as a child or a young person or a young adult. And those things, if they are contrary to the kingdom of God, they become negative strongholds that get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives. And so as we're working on this, everybody say, every thought. Now, Paul says you can bring every thought into captivity. If the word of God says it, then it's true. You have a lot of traffic up there in your minds, and it comes from all different sources, from your past, from your own heart, from the enemy. God speaks to you in your mind. But he says we can bring every thought into captivity. And the way that we do that is we create new thought life by getting a new knowledge base. Later, we'll talk about how that opens up a new vista for vision, or what Paul calls your imagination. And so with this idea, we want new thoughts. So we have to go and get new information, because your thoughts become your life. Your thoughts become your direction. They set the sail for your destiny. And Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, or if you would, in the power of your thoughts. Now, what we want then is not our thoughts. We want to begin to use God's thoughts. Is there anybody here that believes that God has a better idea? It's not enough to come out of Egypt. It's not enough to speak against the bad idea. Don't do that. Well, that's true, and that's probably good at some level, but that's not enough. You have to have a better idea. You have to ascend to a better thing. If you don't, you never will survive, and you'll always go back to where you came from. You'll go back to your default settings. And so God has a better idea. God has a better thought. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I need that working in my mind. I need that working in my heart. And so we talked about this morning how we assimilate the things of God so that our thinking is inundated with God's thinking. And we do that in two primary ways. One, we eat and assimilate the word of God, and we commune with God in worship and in prayer. That's why these things are so very important. That's why your devotion is so important. That's why your experience in the word of God is so important. And church becomes very important. And Bible study becomes very important. What are you spending all that time doing? I'm changing myself. I'm transforming myself. It begins with my mind. If I can change my mind, I change my direction. I begin to think with God's thoughts. I'm not walking in doubt and fear anymore. I'm walking in faith and in confidence, and I'm walking in a place where I know God can do anything. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And there's a lot of discussion in Paul's letters about Christ being formed in you, and the very idea that you can share and have, literally have, the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, and in that first run there, verses 1 through 8, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so it's clearly possible that we walk with the mind of Christ. And he teaches that we should be like-minded, that we share this. And when we come to one mind and one accord, it's because we've gathered around the central themes of the kingdom of God, and we're gathering around the thoughts of God. By his word, what we've received in prayer, what God's given us by inspiration and revelation, and we all come together. And you know what happened on the day of Pentecost when they were all in one mind and one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And we want that. I want a move of God. I want God to have his way. And you're going to find the presence of God moving with that kind of liberty where you have people that agree with him. For how can two walk together except they agree? I want to agree with God. Praise. Everybody say praise the Lord. Let's give God a little praise here and magnify him. I want to agree with God. Well, praise God. And this begins at a very rudimentary level. You have to repent of your sins. You got to turn away from what you've been doing that's not like God. You've got to forgive your enemies. You've got to be kind and full of grace and full of mercy and demonstrate the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. You've got work to do. I've got work to do. And we need the thoughts of God in our heads. Now, what we worked on this morning, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Touch your neighbor and tell him God's thinking good things about you. Now, how many of you have ever been afraid of God because of what you felt like God was thinking about you? Or afraid of God because of what you had done? Or afraid of God because of your own feeling of inadequacy? I want you to understand that's not the kind of thinking that's going to get you where you want to be in the kingdom of God. But you've got to understand that God is your Father and God loves you. You may be bad, but God loves you. You may have failed, but God loves you. And he meets you at the point of your failure and at the point of your trouble and says, okay, let's start right here. Let's get up right now. Let's dust off. Let's get ourselves squared away and let's start all over again. Do you know the mercies of God are infinite? The place where the devil wins his greatest victories is when he can convince you that there is no hope left in God or no open door with God. But you've got a door that's just a second away. All you've got to do is begin to call on that name that is above every name with sincerity of heart and a life that wants to be offered up to God. God will meet you there. God will redeem you right there. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how far you've fallen. You can't outdistance the grace and the power of God. And so this morning as we were closing up, we were just walking through Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verses 1 through 14. Why are we doing this? We're trying to establish how God thinks about us, what God wants to do in us. And you have to get a hold of this if you ever want to actualize what God has promised and called you to be. Everybody say praise the Lord. He said 28, 1 through 14 in Deuteronomy, it'll come to pass if you hearken diligently to the voice of God. This thing doesn't happen in isolation of the word of God. It happens in context. It happens in obedience. Now what we're dealing with here, the promises of God, the goodness of God, all of those things, they work effectively in your life as you draw near and are obedient to God. Say praise the Lord. So you can't have it both ways. You can't straddle the fence and live in the world and try to appropriate the blessings of God unto yourself. You got to do this God's way because that's God's thoughts. But if you do, and if you're willing to do that, down in that passage, he says this. He says, the Lord thy God will set thee on high. I want you to know it is the will of God right now for God to lift you up beyond where you presently are. Spiritually and in natural things. Three of you believe that. I want you to know that's the will of God. That's the kind of thinking you need to have. God wants to lift you up. He wants to bless you on your job. He wants to bless you in your home. Bless you in your family. Bless you in spiritual things. Bless you in your prayer. Well, it's true. He wants to lift you up on high. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake you. The blessings of God are following you right now, ready to overtake you. How many of you believe that? Or how many of you think something really bad is about to happen? Oh, I just feel like something bad is about to happen. I just feel like something bad is on the way. Well, you got to get over that. That's your thoughts. But God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Like, God has a blessing for you. He's got strength for you. He wants to draw you into his program and into his plan and work his perfect plan in your life. Well, praise God. He said, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm blessed in the city. Tell him, I'm blessed in the field. Do you get the drift? It doesn't matter where you are. You're blessed of God. Do you remember when the pagan king called Balaam and wanted him to curse the people of God? And the money was so good, he went up on a mountaintop just to try to satisfy the contract. But he already told the king, you can't curse what God has blessed. And so he gets up on the mountaintop and he opens his mouth to curse. But every time he does, a blessing comes out. Do you know you can't curse what God has blessed? And this is not some shallow thing that we're working with tonight. We're standing foundationally in the construct and in the covenant of God. But if you're living for God and if your heart is directed toward the things of God, I want you to stand up and say, I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the field. I am blessed in my life. I am blessed in my family. Come on, do you believe that tonight? This is not just some kind of workshop to make you feel better, but I want you to have the thoughts of God. Well, praise God. But the economy, God's bigger than the economy. But the boss, God's bigger than the boss. But my past trouble, God's bigger than your past trouble. God can lift you up to a place. You would be amazed at what God will do. Somebody said, if he can just get somebody to agree with him. You got to begin to start thinking like God. Why did Israel die in the wilderness? unbelief. You can sit down. Unbelief. And how was their unbelief expressed? In their thinking and then with their mouth. They said, we're going to die in the wilderness. They said, we'll never make it. They said, we'd wish we could go back. They were a pre-recording of doubt. And they didn't think with God's thoughts because God had already told them. And they died in the wilderness. First thing you got to do is get your thoughts into captivity. Bring them into subjection. I know what may go through your mind, and wherever the origin of it was, it doesn't matter if it came from hell, if it came from your own past, if it came out of your own gray matter, it doesn't matter. But you've got to reach up and snatch that thing down and bring it into subjection and say, no, the word of God declares that I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field and my life is blessed and my family is blessed. And what God has, come on, somebody needs to get a hold of this tonight. And what God has blessed, you can't curse. My God, somebody that needs that ought to shout about it a little bit right now. Well, praise God. Praise God. He said, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Everybody with teenagers say, blessed is the fruit of my body. When you look at that cluttered room in that messed up area where they live, and you think about all they didn't do that you told them to do, you still rise up in the middle of that and say, blessed is the fruit of my body. When you're lying awake at night and you're worried, the devil's got you on the ropes because you're afraid, you need to rise up and say, you can't curse what God has blessed. And blessed is the fruit of my body. Somebody needs to get all up in the middle of that tonight and change your mind and change your thinking. If you got backslidden kids, you need to say, there's something God has for them. There's a blessing for them. Blessed is the fruit of my body. I know they're making decisions. I know they're free moral agents. But I know God has a blessing for them. And I know God knows how to draw people back into his kingdom. Praise God. Praise God. The thinking of God, changing your thinking, changing the way you look at your life and the negatives that are happening. You may see the negative, but God's word is more powerful than that. We're not abdicating responsibility. We're not turning away from discipline when it's necessary. We're not ignoring reality. We're just saying God is a greater reality. The word of God is a greater reality. Praise God. Everybody that's, we talked about this morning, you're blessed. You're blessed in the fruit of your cattle and in the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. I doubt anybody here has anything like that. Anybody here have any cattle or sheep or flocks at all? That's just talking about your stuff and what you produce in your life and the source of your income and the source of your life's strength. And this morning we talked about Jacob and Haran with Laban and how Laban was trying to schnooker him. And he said, I'll give you all the spotted cattle. And they didn't have any spotted cattle. They weren't having spotted cattle. But after God heard that that was going to be Jacob's, all the cattle started having spotted cattle. And when Laban changed the contract, he saw it happening. He said, I'm going to give you the striped cattle. But when that happened, God began to make all the cattle striped. And so whatever your circumstance, bigger than the circumstance, bigger than the economy, bigger than the constraints around you right now, God is able to bless you in the midst of that, because you are the covenant man, you are the covenant woman, as Jacob was, and the word of God said it's his will and purpose and design to bless you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, blessed is my basket, and blessed is my store. And it's not talking about Walmart. I know you have a personal relationship with Walmart. But blessed is your basket right now. Somebody in this house is sitting on an empty wallet, and you're thinking that wallet's not blessed. But I'm telling you, the word of God says it is. You got to change your thinking. You need to change your thinking. No, that's half-hearted. You need to change your thinking. Well, praise, and begin to think like God thinks, bringing every thought into captivity. Well, praise God. And this is a review, but I can't help it. Blessed are you when you come in. Blessed are you when you go out. that's the origin of the axiom going and coming. He's getting it going. He's losing going and coming. He's in trouble going and coming. No. You're blessed going and coming. Praise God. Praise God. Negative things will eat you alive. You've got to step over into the realm of where God is living. God calls those things that are not as though they were. Well, praise God. Praise God. And so we pursued this morning. And it's important for you to lay hold of the things of God and begin to think as God thinks. Now, Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we'll begin to work on some of this for this evening. Praise God. God is good. God is able. God never fails. I belong to God. Come on, anybody excited about what God is doing? Praise God. So we want to appropriate the thoughts of God. We do it by the word of God. We do it by prayer. Blessed. Everyone say, blessed is the man. And this establishes some preconditions. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so there is built into this the separation. It begins in Genesis chapter 1. God begins to separate things in Genesis 1. This is continuing on through every major episode in the Word of God, Old and New Testament. It comes down to us, and there is always a separation involved in the plan of God and the blessing of God. So here's a contingency. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's talking about separation. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. It's talking about separation. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's talking about separation. And so if I want to walk in the thoughts of God, if I want to appropriate, I have to change my social construct. I can't be hanging out with people that are always singing sad songs, a tear in their beer, and they're always singing the blues, and it's everything's always bad. I mean, you can't cheer them up for anything. You can't, they're intractable. You try your best. You work on them with every positive thing you can think, and you can't get past. It's impenetrable. The fortress of negativism that's all up in their brain. But I want you to know that you have to change your social construct, which simply means if you can't turn them, if you can't convert them, you've got to get away from them. You've got to separate yourself from them. Well, praise God. That's one reason why in the parable of the prodigal son, the father doesn't go down to the pig pen to get the prodigal. Because he goes in the previous two lost thing, stories or parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin, they go and search for that and bring that back. They bring the lamb back and they find the coin and they bring it back. But the prodigal son, they don't go down into the pig pen because the prodigal is enjoying what he's doing and he's there on purpose. And so you don't go down there. Have you ever been in a pig pen? It's a putrid place, terrible place, stanky place. And you get up in there and you get all that on you. You can't fool with hogs without getting that on you. And so you that's why the father doesn't go down to the pig pen, because the son has to come to himself. He's got to begin to think a thought that's in alignment with the thoughts of the father to come up out of there. Praise God. And so hanging out with backsliders, hanging out with sinners, hanging out with the ungodly is not a healthy idea, because that's going to get on you. Because all they want to talk about how bad the people at the church are. They want to talk about how bad they were treated. They want to talk about how restrictive the Father's house is. They want to give you the litany and the list of all that is wrong. But I just want to tell them, tell me something good. Tell me something positive. If you can't say something good, just shut your mouth. I don't want to hear. And if they can't be converted to that, I have to get away from them. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But he separated himself from them. Why are you doing that? Why are you leaving us? Because I've got to have a change in the way that I think. And those thoughts are contagious. And they get on me. And they bring me down. And they influence me. And it's not that I just want to get away from the negative, but I want to assimilate the positive. and I can't do both at the same time. I need a revolution in my brain. Well, praise God. Praise God. I don't care who it is, if they're full of venom and negativity, you don't need to be talking to them. Not in person, not on the web, not on the phone, not, you know. You just need to cut them off. Leave them a message. Hey, I love you, but you know, but just cut the ties. You'll feel an immediate improvement in your thought life. Just getting away. Bless it. It's a blessing. You understand this? You do those three things. Cut those turkeys off, and there's a blessing in that. Now, nobody's shouting. If we were singing that song, I'm going to get my blessing, you'd be shouting. But I'm talking about cutting ties with people. Getting away from all of that negative junk constantly. Well, you don't want me to love them? Yeah, love them. But you can't help them from where they're still in the pig pen. And they're not going to come up out of there. And you come away smelling like that. It's all over you. We're talking about changing your thoughts. And you can't change your thought and continue in that same social construct. Praise God. But, everyone say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Praise God. Going to church. Praise God. I'm going to church. Praise God. I'm going to church. Praise God. It's time to go to church. Praise God. My alarm just went off. I'm getting up. It's Sunday morning. I'm ready to go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, praise God. You say you're excited about it? I am excited about that. My God, of all the places I could be in the graveyard, I could be in the morgue, I could be in the hospital, I could be all kinds of places, but I get to come to the house of God and worship and magnify and feel the presence of God. Well, praise God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Get excited about it. Excited about Bible studies. Excited about a witness. Excited about coming to the house of God. Excited about the preaching of the word. Excited about the singers singing and the prayers praying and the Holy Ghost moving. Just excited about all that. That's a revolution in thinking. And there's a blessing in that. But his delight, this blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. The things of God delight him. Praise God. More than his bass boat. More than his shotgun. More than her kitchen. More. Now, cynics are laughing because they don't think you're in love with your kitchen. Some people really are. And some people have marvelously blended that with ministry. And that's a wonderful thing to do. But there ought not be anything that fills you with a charge any more than the things of God. Than the things of God. It's time to pray. I'm about to come into the presence of God. It's time to read my Bible. I'm about to open up a book that is from eternity to eternity. It's got the power to revolutionize my life and my experience. My God, there's power coming out of this thing right now. It's not some old dusty book that's full of old dusty religion, but it's full of life. It's very self. It's life. It's spirit. And it's life. Praise God. I'm excited. Give somebody a high five and tell them I'm excited about God. Now, don't you lie. If you're not, don't you say it. Is there anybody here that's really excited about the things of God? Excited about the word of God? Excited about prayer? Excited about the prospect of people getting the Holy Ghost and living for God? My God, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's a different kind of thinking. Different kind of thinking. But those are the thoughts of God that are higher than my thoughts, like the heavens are above the earth. David was a man after God's own heart, or you could say a man after God's thinking or God's thoughts. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My God, what a blessing to be a part of the people of God. Praise God. I called a guy once talking to him about coming to preach here. And it's just his character. It's just his nature, just his way. I think he's joking most of the time. You know, so praise the Lord, brother. How's it going down there? Well, I'm fighting dingbats and devils. And some of you know who I'm talking about. He didn't ask me, but I volunteered it. I said, well, man, things are going great. God's doing good things. Well, I don't know where you are. I don't know. Well, that's just his shtick, I think. I don't know. But I really do believe that God's doing good things. And I really do believe that tomorrow's going to be a day filled with wonderful things. I really do believe that with all my heart. I really do believe that in this house tonight, there are impending miracles just hanging like clouds over your lives, ready to open up and rain down. And the last thing the devil wants you to do is look up and say, God is able. He wants to distract you with every little nitpicking thing and every little crisis and all the pressure. But you got to shake loose from all of those things and say, you know what? I see all that. I'm not unrealistic, but I believe in a higher reality, and I believe that God is well able. Praise God. I want everybody with trouble tonight to just shout, God is able. I want everybody that's sick in your body to shout, God's a healer. I want everybody that's in financial distress to say, God is my provision. Come on, God is able. God is able. God's my healer. God's my provision. Change your thinking. Mourning and moaning and eating the gruel of depression and trouble. But his delight, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. You're talking about, he's changing his social construct, so he changes his thinking, and he delights in the things that bring the storehouse of the knowledge of God and the thoughts of God into his cognitive process. Well, praise God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's all, you talk about it, you talk to him, all he wants to talk about. Brother Kendrick, you should drive me crazy. I'd show up at a, not really, but it was interesting to me. I'd show up at a Bible study and he would be there. He would just kind of slink into the room. I'd show up at another Bible study, he would be there. I have a Bible study at the church and he would be there. I never had people crash my Bible studies like that before. But he was hungry for something. He wanted a change. And do you know his growth curve, his trajectory was reflective of his delight, of the thing that he took a very proactive interest in. And he caused himself to come into the presence of God and the Word of God to such a degree that his growth curve outdistanced those of a lot of people that I've seen through the years. Because he delighted in the law. I don't know. He may have just liked me. Just wanted to be near me. I don't know. No. He loved the Word of God. And I watch his life and I see the fruit of his life. And I know what's happening in his life. And I understand that this scripture is absolutely true. In his law does he meditate day and night. Praise God. I taught a Bible study to a guy one time. He was a student in architecture at LSU, and his name was Steve. Boy, Steve was such a slow talker, and he loved to talk late at night. He'd call me 12 o'clock at night and talk so slow. And I would be and he never noticed, never caught me sleeping. But he's a good guy, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized, moved off to another place to live for God and ply his trade as an architect. But I was asking about him. Well, because he was very eligible, bachelor, lived for God, very productive in his personal life, and just a good catch for some gal, and started asking about him, and I got negative reports on him. He's too spiritual. All he wants to talk about is things of God. All he wants to talk about is church, because that's all he and I had ever talked about. I mean, he could flat talk about it too, but That's all he wanted. And that disqualified him in the minds. Oh, young lady, that's what you want. You want a man that's blessed of God, because in his law does he meditate day and night. And young man, you want a young lady that's that what you can talk about with her. You're not wanting somebody that's going to be talking about what's recently out of Hollywood, or what's recently in the music business, or what's carnal, or what's natural. You want somebody that can sit down and actually enjoy talking about the things of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, change your thinking, and there's a blessing in that. He said, bring every thought into captivity, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Praise God. Anybody here got roots? You're planted by a river of water, and he brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf doesn't wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. My God, the closer I get to God, the greater degree of this I see in my life. The closer you get to God, the more of I see people struggling with their life, but they hold the church off at arm's length. I see them struggling with their family, but they won't make a commitment to God. I see them struggling with simple things. They can't find joy and can't lay their hands on the things that their heart really desires, but they won't jump in with both feet and really become an apostolic and live for God. My God, you need to turn loose of everything and wildly and passionately pursue the things of God. That's where you find joy. That's where you find peace. That's where you find the blessing of God. You know how God loves you? He loves you unreservedly. You know how God loves you? He loves you passionately. You know how much God is committed to you? He poured out everything for you. And that's the only way that you're going to really receive from God. In God's economy, he's looking for commitment. He's looking for passion. That's not asking for much. In his law does he delight every day. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. You got anything you need God to help you with? Shun the world. Turn away from the ungodly, the sinner, the scornful. Draw close to God and see what begins to happen in your... Come on, is there a witness in the house? Has anybody seen God just lay his hand on you and the blessings of God begin to flow when you drew near to him and with passion begin to embrace the things of God? Praise God. Half-hearted people don't get anything from God. My God. Praise God. Paul said, bring every thought into captivity. Praise God. Philippians 4 and 13. Everyone say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You worried about raising your kids? You worried about how it's going to come? No. You need to say, I can do all things. Praise God. You worried about being a good husband or a good wife? You need to say, I can do all things. You worried about making your way through school and finding yourself a job and finding your trade or your marketable skill, or you're worried about how that's going to, like there's some insurmountable unseen force that's somehow holding you back and won't ever really. No. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Does anybody believe that tonight? My God, you can be a better person next week than you've been. I can do all things. Praise God. Praise God. I know in a crowd as diverse as this, somebody's got problems right now, and some of your problems loom very large, and they seem like perhaps they're insurmountable. But Isaiah 54:17, everyone say, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Come on. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now personalize it. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Come on, something working against you right now. It's not going to prosper. It can't overthrow the blessing of God. You rage all you want. You can't turn aside what God has spoken. You press all you want. You can't turn aside. You can't supplant the blessing of God. Praise God. And everyone say, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Every voice. It's amazing to me how people worry about what's being said about them. I mean, they'll come in a rage or in a frenzy or in panic. Oh, my God, they're saying things about me. Look what they're saying or what he's saying. And they don't get any sleep at night, and they're miserable. All day long, all that matters is what somebody's saying about them. My goodness, you've got a tiny little life. Tiny little life. You really do need to expand your thinking and begin to think like God thinks. Praise God. What's a barking dog to a runaway freight train? Come on. Every tongue that rises up against you, every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Praise God. Come on. It's just words. Walk away from it right now. In your mind and in your spirit, walk away from it. It doesn't matter what they say. I know the only thing I care about is what God says. If God's happy with me, I'm good. I'm good. Not worried. You know, if you get this down, stress, worry, angst, fear, doubt, all of those things just kind of run out your boot heel. I'm serious. It's nice to lay your head down at night. It's almost like being a sociopath. And you just don't care about nothing. You don't know how to process that, do you? Brother Sutton, you don't care about me. Why? Because you just said you just go to sleep. You don't stay up all night and all night prayer meetings praying for me. Oh, man, if I prayed all night for every problem there is around this church, I'd never sleep. I'd have died 20 years ago. You know, okay, get this. There are problems in the church. There was stink on the ark. But if you had half a brain, you wanted to be on the ark and not in the flood. Jesus to John in Revelation chapter 1 is in the midst of the candlesticks. And the candlesticks are representative of the church. And in chapter 2 and 3, he gives you all kinds of things that are wrong with the church. He tells them what they have to change and what they have to repent of. But where's Jesus? He's in the midst of the candlesticks. He's in his church. Praise God. You know, he said, on this rock I will build my church. And so it's so easy for me because I say, God, this is your church. I give him all the credit. I give him all the blame. I give him, these are your children. These are your people. I'm going to sleep. And I'm going to sleep good. And I'm not going to toss and turn. I know that there are times when your life is falling apart. And I do pray for you. And I do love you. And I do care about you. But I don't lose sleep over you. I'm talking about thinking the thoughts of God. Because I could stay up all night. I could slash my wrists. I could beat my head into a pulp. I could tear my clothes and throw dirt in the air and I could lie on broken glass. You know, the ascetics from years and years ago that would torture themselves to try to get the favor of God. What an idiotic idea. He died for us on the cross. He paid the price. The price is paid. Everything's set. The table is spread. He's inviting us into the supper. He's got everything in control. My God, you need to wake up in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You need to lay your head down tonight and say, God is good. God's in control. For every worried person in this house tonight, did anybody see the moonrise tonight? I mean, pristine, powerful, glorious, I think absolutely full, radiant, beautiful moon. Just who do you think holds that up? There's no strings. Who do you think calls that forth? Radiantly reflecting. What a metaphor for the church. Reflecting the sun. showing light all during the night on the earth. God builds his message into all creation. But who do you think calls that forth, holds that up, set that in place by his word thousands of years ago, and it just sits there doing exactly what God's. And you're going to tell me you don't think God can take care of your problem, your little life, your little issue? My God. Touch somebody, tell them God is able. Tell them your problem's a lot smaller than the moon. Oh, no. Oh, watch. God dropped the moon. It goes bouncing off through the... I mean, all these heavenly bodies start bouncing around like a ping pong table. That never has happened. It's never going to happen. The word said he set them all in their place. He calls them all by name, and not one of them fails. You need to get over and begin to think like God thinks. Your thoughts need to be like his thoughts. There's no room. There's no room in an apostolic's life for abject anxiety and worry and angst and guilt and turmoil. There's no, because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Whatever you're feeling right now, that's not those things, it's not the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Sutton, you don't understand. You're not carrying what I'm carrying, and you don't know what it's like to be me. Well, I will tell you that in saying that, you're saying that you and your life and your circumstance are greater in power and in significance than the word of God. It's just that I don't believe you. I believe God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, you don't care about me. You're being insensitive to me. No, quit orbiting your problem. Break out of that orbit and start orbiting the word of God. Let those other things grow dim and don't grow distant. But begin to believe God. Praise God. Praise God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We're gonna quit here in a little bit. But everybody say, now unto him who is able. Praise God. I want every problem in the house to be lifted up to God right now. And I want you with your voice to tell God, I know that you're able. I know that you're able, oh God. I have a problem, but I've got a God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to touch somebody by you and tell them, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Praise God. Ask him, do you have a need? Tell him, I've got a God. You may have a need, but I've got a God, and my God is able to supply your need because he's got riches in glory. Where's your focus? Is your focus on the need, or is your focus on the God? Is your focus on the problem, or is your focus on what God has said? Is your focus on what is not, or what God has said will be? Well, praise God. Praise God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. These are all superlative terms. It just keeps, he keeps stacking them on. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Now, how many of you have asked something of God that you really need here tonight? Praise God. Praise God. I want you to say, now my God is able and is going to do exceeding. You know what that means? He's going to do more than I've asked him to do. He never comes with a bare minimum, just some little paltry thing that'll just meet the... No. He's going to do exceeding. He's going to do something. I'm telling you right now, God's going to exceed your expectation and the level of your prayer. Exceeding abundantly You know, God doesn't have an economy of lack. God has an economy of abundance. God doesn't have an economy of zero sums. Praise God. If I love you, there's less love for him. No. The things of God, the more there are that are experiencing those things and are interacting with those things, the more of that commodity there is. And so when there's two or three of us and we love, then there's love. When there's eight or ten of us and we love, there's more love. And when there's a house, it just keeps getting bigger and stronger and better, because God has an economy of abundance. There's no lack with God. Praise God. Praise God. Exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. Let's stand together. I want us to explore these scriptures. I want us to change our thinking. You know, this is, I would consider this to be a positive church culture, positive church fellowship. I really do. We've worked on this for years, and we've planted the seed of this for a long, long time. But I really do believe that God has more for us, that it's exceeding abundantly above anything we've experienced thus far. And it's the will of God for us all to come into this. He said, be like-minded. Praise God. Lay a hand on somebody right now. And I want you to just begin to tell God how you feel about him and what you know he's able to do. God, I know you're able. God, I know you're good. God, I know you're not challenged by any of this. It challenges me. God, mighty God, I know you're my provider, oh God. I know you're my champion, oh God. I know that you're my way maker. There doesn't seem to be a way, but I know you're a way maker, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you're a healer, oh God. Mighty God, mighty God. Sister Linda, come down. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Tasha, come down here. I want somebody to pray for you. You know, when you're praying in tongues, that's God praying through you. Would you let God begin to pray through your vessel right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. By the name above every name, by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to come to this altar tonight and leave some thinking, some thoughts, some old attitudes on an altar. And you need to begin to take on the thoughts, the thinking, the attitudes of God. Somebody in the middle of your trouble tonight, you need to begin to sing this with them. I've got a blessing in my life. Lord, let's begin to sing that with them tonight. Let's begin to claim every blessing, claim every good thing God has promised. Somebody needs to do some work, some business in this altar tonight. Clap our hands and lift our voice and magnify. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it's a process. It takes a little while. If you came out of a really, really negative background, everybody around you is just corrosive as acid. It takes a little while. But as you begin to incorporate God's thinking into your life and your thinking, you're going to immediately begin to sense and see change. God's going to begin to bring forth His plan and His blessing in your life. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. What a good God. What a worthy God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You want to remember to be in prayer with these church families that are struggling and with sickness, and they're going to be going down to the graveyard. Just begin to pray for them on a regular basis here for a while, that God would just lift them up. Again, the wake for Brother Gerald Knute is in the house here tomorrow evening, and then the funeral is going to be Tuesday. Be sure to bless and strengthen somebody before you leave this house. Tell them how good God is.